Grace to you and peace from God who creates and sustains all things. Amen. Jesus and his disciples have just left the feeding of the 5,000, the ultimate potluck, where there was plenty for everyone to eat. It was free. It showed up. They left. I bet somebody even did the dishes for them. And the disciples and Jesus disappear. They go back over to the other side, and the crowd goes and follows them back to Capernaum. And in the reading that we have for today, Jesus seems to chide the people at first. He says, "What did you come here for? Did you come expecting to be fed again? You didn't come because of the signs and wonders. Were you just looking for a free meal?" Jesus wonders if they just came to get their bellies filled. And maybe they did come for a free meal, but they will leave with something far greater. Jesus surprises them not with another meal, but with the bread of life. So, what did you come here for this morning? What were you expecting to receive? Did you come this morning expecting an encounter with Jesus, with God, maybe even, Lord forbid, the Holy Spirit? When you woke up this morning, you thought to yourself, "You know what? I'm going to go have an encounter with God." Stop laughing. Especially you. I know your church background. Or maybe you came for a cup of coffee and a scone. Did you come out of obligation or habit, commitment, or curiosity? I think, like the crowd, each of you came this morning to worship expecting something, and for a different reason that is all your own. But I hope, like the crowd, you will leave with something more than what you expected. Several years ago, at one of our conferences in the Central State Synod, we were invited to come together for worship, and the bishop had invited one of the congregations to lead worship for us that evening. So we all walked into the room where we always worship and had always worshiped pretty much the same way for the previous 20 years. And there in the room, they had rearranged the chairs. Gone were the nice, neat rows that we had become accustomed to. Everything was in a circle, and the band was in the middle. I was pretty young at that point, still full of myself, even more than I am these days, and I thought to myself, this is not going to go well. Because the crowd that was worshiping there was about 80% pastors. And there is no harder, harsher critic for worship than clergy. So there we were in our circle, and they began to play, I think they called it music. And they did a Mighty Fortress, I think in kind of a reggae sort of way. And I was sitting kind of in the middle, and I kept looking behind me, waiting for the older pastors to begin to stream out the back in disgust. And then they prayed these weird prayers, and the worship leaders were lifting up their hands to Jesus. And all of this went on and on and on. At the end of worship, we all politely got up and began to walk out. I stayed for the whole thing. I had gone into that worship hungry for a spiritual experience, and I left starved. Now, strangely enough, I have forgotten 90% of everything I've ever done in my life. But for some reason, that particular event has haunted me for all of these years. And it's haunted me because I realize, as I've gotten a bit older, that the problem was not with the worship. The problem was with me. The food that was offered was not what I expected or enjoyed. It was the gift of God in worship. There was bread and there was wine and there was song and there was prayer and there was word and there was sermon and there were visuals. I believe there may have even been a liturgical dancer. It was all there. But I wasn't there. It wasn't what I expected. I had not left myself open for an experience of God to enter into my life in a new way. And it's haunted me ever since. In fact, every time we try something new in worship, I sort of go back to that day and I think, I wonder how many people are thinking to themselves, I came in hungry and I left starved. I missed the bread of life that day. Because I came into worship and into the community expecting not what God had to offer, but what I wanted. I set the menu. I even ordered my own dessert. And I got just what I deserved. That day when the people come to Jesus on the other side of the lake, we have no way of knowing what they were expecting, but Jesus thinks they're expecting to be fed again with bread and fish, another potluck. And instead, he brings them something even greater. This powerful parallel with the story of the people of the Exodus. They were hungry and they complained. And God said, well, I'm going to test them and I will give them the bread from heaven, the manna. And God gave them the bread from heaven. It was like hoarfrost in the morning, and they gathered it up and they ate it. And you know what manna means? What is this? It's like my first roast. What is this? It's not the food that they expected, and yet it is the food that keeps them alive and in God. What is the bread we long for these days? Jesus urges the folks who are gathered around there not to want or desire the food that fills the stomach, but fills life. For the people of Israel, that becomes the fulfillment of God's promise. The land of milk and honey, of Emmanuel, all of that is closely tied together in Hebrew history. It's all tied up in the bread, this God who accompanies them through thick and thin, through war and peace, through famine and through plenty. You see, God understands that the people of Israel are not hungering just for a meal, but for life itself. In the same way, God understands our hunger, maybe more deeply than we do. The problem with being relatively privileged, well-fed people is that we think it's all about preference. I prefer this and I prefer that. I would rather have this than that. It's not until we experience true physical hunger that we understand the gift of food, to receive what is given with thankfulness and with joy. We arrive our whole lives hungry. Hungry for more stuff, hungry for more career, more fame, more status, hungry for all kinds of things, and yet we find ourselves left starving, always wanting more. The people of Israel seek and desire food and almost miss the gift. So I wonder what we miss in our search for the food that we want. The startling reality is that the price of the Jesus bread that we receive each Sunday morning, the price of that bread, this is the startling thing that Jesus tells them when they ask, what do we have to do to receive this bread of life? The startling reality is that Jesus says the price is not moral perfection or good works. It is not religious observance or even financial donation. Put your coin in the plate and get your Jesus bread. It's not that. Jesus says something startling and unexpected that should stick with us forever. Jesus says the bread of life is received in faith. That's it. I don't have to be perfect. I don't have to sing the right liturgy. I don't have to do this particular religious observance. I don't have to check off these boxes in order to receive the bread of life, that which fills me up for my whole life, true life. There's no price. Maybe we're all so used to it that it doesn't surprise us. But it should. It should. That God has given this gift for you and for me, for the whole world, for the price of faith. There is no deed or sign that we can see or do. There is nothing that we need pour out other than our whole lives in faith for Christ. Maybe one of the things that we need to begin to understand is that perhaps arriving hungry and leaving starved isn't what God has in mind for us. That day, I could have sat in that worship and received God's word and God's blessing as a gift. If only I had not hungered for something different. It's like the child who on their birthday receives a beautiful fire engine and then throws a fit because they wanted an ambulance. Whatever you came for today, God is giving you the bread of life and water and word and bread and wine in love, in fellowship. Whatever it is that you're seeking today, God has already poured it out on you in Jesus of Nazareth, in the creation of God's amazing world, and in the making of a people. So what did you come for today? Did you come to get fed? Did you come expecting to find Jesus? Did you meet Jesus? Or is that still to come? When you leave this place, when you walk out from this church, when you go through those double doors, through the courtyard and out to your car and out into the world, will you still expect the bread of life there? I hope so. Because that bread of life is given freely and poured out in every moment of your life, not so that you can put it in a bucket and carry it away, but so that you too can feed the world. Amen.